In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What is faith? How would you define it? How would you describe it? Where does your faith come from? What does your faith do? These are important questions. Faith is basic, essential, foundational to what Christians believe and teach, especially we Lutheran Christians. After all, the slogan of the Reformation and the classic Lutheran shibboleth is Romans 3:28, which reads that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. For many of us, we sort of know what faith is, but it's kind of hard to put into words. I confess that sometimes I struggle to describe and define faith. Maybe that's because faith is precisely so fundamental to who we are and what we do as Christians. Someone said, if you want to know about water, don't ask a fish. Perhaps because faith is the environment in which we exist, we are too busy living out our faith to examine it objectively. There are a lot of faithful people who could not give you a textbook definition of faith, and that's okay. We are saved by faith, not by our intellectual understanding of faith or how eloquently we can talk about it. Still, it's good for us to have, as 1 Peter 3:15 says, a ready defense for the hope that is in you. When someone asks you about your faith, it's good to be able to witness sincerely and knowledgeably about what you believe. In the assigned readings today are two classic verses about faith. In the first lesson, Genesis chapter 15, we heard how God made promises to Abram, and as verse 6 says, Abraham believed, and it was counted to him as righteousness. In our epistle reading, Hebrews 11, the chapter begins, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. If you wanted to memorize a couple of verses about faith, these would be good choices. Before we begin examining what faith is, it might be helpful to say a bit about what faith is not. You've probably familiar with the term faith healing. Faith healers usually say that if you have absolute confidence and you really believe that you will be healed, then you will be healed. In that kind of scenario, faith is not a gift or a response to God's grace. In that situation, faith becomes a way of manipulating God, compelling him to do our will. That's a fiction. In reality, we cannot force God to do anything against his will. Many times in my life, in my ministry, I have prayed so earnestly, so sincerely, so confidently that someone would be healed. I'm sure you have too. Many times that healing just wasn't to be. Does that mean that our faith was weak and that's why our prayer wasn't answered in the way that we wanted it to be? If only we would have believed harder, would God have had to heal the person? That's not right at all. True faith accepts whatever God's will is. It doesn't force our will on God. God's will is always right and best, and he answers our prayers in excellent ways that we might not recognize or understand. We do best when we pray along with Jesus in the Lord's Prayer and in his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, thy will be done. Your will, not my will, Father, be done. That's a faithful prayer. Another way that faith gets misunderstood and misapplied is that we make faith a good work that we do, something we do to earn our spot in heaven. Surveys regularly find that the majority of people say we get into heaven by being good. It is true that there are good things that God wants us to do. In our gospel reading, Jesus tells us to share with the needy. There are also bad things that God forbids us to do. We find those in the Ten Commandments. Christians sometimes seem to think and act as if God will give us a pass for our bad deeds and our lack of good deeds if only we do the one supreme good deed, believe in Him. There's a little more to it than that. Belief is an element of faith, but faith goes beyond mere belief. Faith also involves trust, but it goes beyond simple trust. We're starting now to get at what faith is. I believe in gravity. I trust that when I get up in the morning, I am going to step on the floor, not float up to the ceiling. I'm certain that when I turn on the faucet, the water is going to flow downward rather than upward. History has taught me that the principle of gravity is true, and I have seen the evidence for gravity with my own eyes. But I don't love gravity. Gravity doesn't give my life meaning and purpose. I don't trust gravity to save me and give me eternal life. Faith does that. Do you know who believes in God? The demons do. In James 2:19, it says that the demons believe in God and they shudder. It is possible that we can believe in God but not love Him. We can believe in God and rebel against Him. We can give intellectual assent to the notion that God exists, but not believe that one day He will take us to be with Him in joy and everlasting blessedness for all eternity. Only faith trusts those good things. So how do we get faith? Never has a non-believer or someone who has never heard of God was ever just walking down the street or sitting at home watching TV and suddenly had the thought, hey, I think I'm going to start believing and trusting and loving in God for no particular reason. It just doesn't happen. We call God's love for us grace, and in His grace, God creates the conditions necessary for us to come to saving faith. The first step is always God moving toward us. He takes the initiative. We can't come to Jesus Christ on our own, Luther wrote in his catechism, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is why we give all the credit, all the glory to God, and none to ourselves. There are two things that God does to move us to faith. We call them law and gospel. The proper distinction of law and gospel is very important to us Lutherans. In His grace for us, God gives us His law. The law is what God expects of us, what He commands us to do and not to do. There's those Ten Commandments again. We fall short of meeting what God requires of us. We call it sin, and sin literally means missing a target like an arrow missing a bullseye. Sin has consequences. Sin separates us from God. You do not want to be separated from God for all eternity. We can debate what hell is like, but Scripture is unequivocal on its existence, regardless of what some people think today. When I think about what hell could be, it terrifies me, as it should. In His grace, God has given us a solution for the problem of sin. He has given us a cure for our sin-sick souls. It's called the gospel. The gospel is God's promise of love and forgiveness. The law condemns us, the gospel pardons us. It puts us right with God. It mends our relationship with God that was broken by sin. The gospel has the power to save us, and our faith clings to the gospel with all our might. Holy baptism is our initiation into the community of faith. As 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism now saves you. When our faith is battered and challenged, we can look back at our baptism and say, there God claimed me as his own forever. He will never let me down and never let me go. Whatever my sins and failures might be, I am his and he loves me. Just as we said that history and evidence convince us of the power of gravity, so does history and evidence convince us of the power of faith. Hebrews 11 gives us a long list of people who were blessed by faith. There we hear about some of the well-known superstars of faith, such as Noah, Abram, and Sarah, as well as some of the lesser-known ones like Abel and Enoch. Together, they all make up that great cloud of witnesses the author of Hebrews will talk about in chapter 11. They serve as examples and inspirations to us. Of course, in this world, there needs to be a physical means, a practical way to get God's message of law and gospel to us. The Bible is God's word containing both law and gospel. In his wisdom and grace, God sends people to proclaim the gospel to us. As Paul asks in Romans 10, how can people believe who have never heard the good news? By your call and generosity, I get to preach as a vocation. But you proclaim and teach God's words too. Whenever you teach your children Bible stories and prayers, when you pray with and for one another, and by so many acts of charity and kindness and love that you do in Jesus' name. Implicit in all that I've said, but I want to make sure that I say it unambiguously, is that faith takes an object. Faith focuses on something. I've heard people say that they have faith in faith. I'm not sure what that even really means. Faith is not just belief in any old ridiculous thing. God could have asked us to believe in flying rhinoceroses from the South Pole for our salvation, but he didn't. Alice in Wonderland said sometimes she believes in six impossible things before breakfast. Christian faith is nothing like that. Jesus Christ is the object, the focus of our faith. Specifically, his death and resurrection. He died for our sins and rose again. Faith in Christ is our path to salvation. We believe in him. We trust in him. We cling to him for dear life. God gives all good gifts to his creatures, including us. Some people take what God gives them for granted. Other peoples respond to what God gives them with praise and thanksgiving and faith. God gives all of us opportunities to hear the gospel. Some people reject the gospels, others receive it in faith. Why? That's a mystery known only to God. But let us, God's people of faith, rejoice in the gift of faith that we have received and follow his guidance. Amen.